Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
If you start reading up in verse 18, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you've gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you two or more, that by the mouths of two or three witnesses every word shall be established. If he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to hear even the church, let him be to you like a heathen or a tax collector. For verily, verily, I say to you," and that is plural to the church, "whatsoever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loosen on earth will have been loosed in heaven. And again I say to you that if two of you agree," that word is not a mental agreement, it is symphonize, from which we get the word symphony, it means a spiritual harmony. It's not calling up somebody on the phone, "I got a check for $10 here. I want you to agree with me it's be $100 because I need to cover my bills." "Well, I agree with you, $100. You all ever heard that?
Yeah.
I heard it on television.
Yeah.
That's much foolishness. You can deposit that as $100, I'll tell you. That's fraud. "Again, I say you agree on anything. If two of you harmonize or symphonize on earth, anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered or called together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." And so the second binding and loosening is given to the church, to the corporate church. Now, what does bind mean? Bind means to tie up with chains. Loose means two things. It means to untie or destroy. Now, you know the verse, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the enemy." That word is loose. Same word there. It's translated loosed. It means to destroy. And so when you bind, when you have an enemy spirit binding you, attacking you, you bind him. "I bind you in Jesus' name." An angel will literally come and bind him up with chains and haul him away. Now, the devil got a lot of troops. And he may have a whole company of them sitting there, and another one will just step forward and just keep right on like nothing has happened. And you bind him, the angel will haul him off, and another one will come, and another one. And you just keep on binding. After the devil's lost 100 of his troops or so, he might decide, "You know, this ain't working too good," because he does not have an infinite number. He has a finite number. And he'll stop and await a more opportune time. You know, when Jesus, at the end of the temptations in Luke, he said the devil departed to await a more opportune time. I can assure you, if he intended to come back to get Jesus, he'll come back to get you and tempt him again. He'll come back and attack you. And you just keep binding. And then you look at the legal grounds, some unforgiven sin or something. You ask God, "Now, what's this happening?" God shows you. And you say, "Lord, I loose myself from that, and I loose it in the heavens." That means that you have reached up into the heavens and you've destroyed the copy, the legal grounds for that, which has been recorded in the heavens by the enemy. He records everything you say. He records everything you do. So he can have a legal ground. He can't attack you nilly-willy. He's got to have a legal ground to attack you as a Christian. You've got to give him the right. And so you, I bind that, I loose it in the name of Jesus. Now that's what loose means. In the church, if you have some years ago, in this town I was living in, we began having animals, farm animals, found in the fields, drained of their blood with their sexual organs cut off. No shots were fired, they were just dead. With all the blood drained out of them, And it was happening frequently. And the KB, the Kansas Bureau of Investigation, said that they didn't know what was killing them. Didn't have any drugs or anything in them. But the coyotes had killed them. This farmer said, "Dr. Null, I butchered a lot of cows. I know when something's been surgically removed and when it's been chewed off by an animal." He said, "That was cut off with a sharp instrument." And so a group of us, God revealed to us that there was a Satanist cult that was doing this, and they were using them in their sacrifices. So four of us went to the pastor and the elders, and we asked permission to form a group to attack this, to bind it up. And we wanted covering from our spiritual heads. Because now anybody's out in the ministry and ain't got no covering, I mean, you're out there in the middle of a field waiting for lightning to strike you. But you're under covering. I went to the pastor and the elders, and they said, "We'll pray about it." They came back and said, "What do you intend to do?" So we intend to meet at the church at 5 o'clock every morning, 4:30, and pray for a couple hours every morning. And any other time God calls us to. And pray all day, and that's what we did. And in 6 months, it broke. And in the end, I knew two of the people who were in the satanic cult got saved, and 10 of the witches out of the 3 covens that got broken up. And then I had a lot more experience with the Satanists that I don't want to go into. Now, I can sit here and talk about it all day, but I don't like to put that on tape. But if we had gone without the covering of our pastor, we would have been out of order. And you don't attack that type of spiritual entity without covering. You don't attack Malam Zulu down on the corner who's got the card laying business on your own. You want covering. You want your pastor's covering. If the pastor doesn't have any experience, he says, "I'm not comfortable with that," don't do it. Unless God speaks to you sovereignly. You say, "Well, it's always the will of God we should come against that. It's always the will of God that those occultists ought to be put out of business." It says, "Always the will of God that ever shouldn't come to salvation." Any place in the Bible God wouldn't let people go preach the gospel? Does anybody know of any place in the Bible where there were obviously unsaved people that needed to hear the word and God says, "You can't go down there"? Where? Where? Well, Paul wanted to go to Ephesus. And the Spirit of Jesus said no. Now, I'm sure if Paul had said, "Well, I know there are unsaved folks down there and I want to go preach," he'd been in what the missionaries call an unfruitful field. Because he'd have gone without the Holy Spirit. You're not going to get anybody saved without the Holy Spirit. He went on up to, Bithynia. God said, "No, you can't go in there." So then he went down to, he had the Macedonian vision, went down to Troas and went over to Macedonia. And there are other places too. That's the most prominent one that everyone knows. And so you be sure that you got covering. But those are the two places, and those are the keys to the kingdom of God. And it's something that you should do every day. You should bind the bad memories, bind the pain, bind the fear, loose mercy, graciousness, grace, and mercy, and forgiveness in the lives of those people who hurt you. Because as you release that, it'll come back into your life by the same measure that you release it. He who of the Spirit, that sows to the Spirit, will of the Spirit reap eternal life. God's not mocked. When you sow, and you continue to sow out of your mouth, that the devil can hear you, and you bind these spirits out of your mouth, and the angels will move. Angels can't read your mind. They've been around you. They anticipate what you're thinking, but they can't read your mind. Only God, only the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob can read your mind. The triune God knows everything. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present. The devil is none of those things. None of his minions. And he's assigned angels to all of you. Last year we had someone speak about his personal guardian angel. Children's angels always have God's face. So, praise the Lord. Today I want to speak We want to break the curse of unforgiveness in our lives. Break the curse of rejection that's come down as our inheritance from Adam. Break the curse of fear and pride and all its dominions. Break the curse of infirmities. Fear lowers your ability to fight infection. It's been shown that if you're fearful, it drops your ability to make antibodies. And you're fearful, then you're the one that catches the cold. Somebody comes into the office and sneezes, and you're way over yonder, and you suddenly you catch it. The other people don't catch it. You catch everything that comes in because your antibody level is low. If there's, you go into the restaurant and eat, and this food hadn't been handled properly, you're the one that's going to make sick. Because your antibody level is low. If you got anger, rage, bitterness, it's going to make you allergenic. First you become allergic to things around you. It alters your immune system. And then you can become allergic to yourself. You develop fibromyalgia, arthritis, lupus erythematosus, Crohn's disease, and they're called collagen diseases. That's because your immune system is messed up. Because you've got all these hormones running around in you from the bitterness and the anger and the rage that's buried. You need to see God bring them up. Now, God's not going to bring up more than you can bear at one time. When I started this, I didn't know I had so much anger and rage in me. Bitterness. 6 months ago, He showed me all this. Showed me some books to read by Christian neurophysiologist. And you're allergic, you begin to become allergic to yourself, and you have reaction in your joints to the cartilage, and you develop I can't remember now what they call it. It's, you know. Bitterness, anger, and rage. I remember one little old lady came in for prayer. She was a fine little Pentecostal lady, you know. And they brought her in a wheelchair and her hands were like this. And rolled her in and talking to her. You got any oh, no, doctor. It's a sin not to forgive. I've forgiven everybody. And we kept talking and the word of knowledge came back. Unforgiveness. Kept on, go. And she was getting a little flustered. I mean, her nephew who was pushing the wheelchair says, "What about Aunt Susie?" And it looked like a bulge in her face. She said, "I have forgiven Aunt Susie. God can get Aunt Susie better than I'll ever be able to. God's going to make her pay for what she did to me." In this tone. I said, "It doesn't seem like to me that you forgive." "Oh, yes, I have." I said, "So I got Webster's Collegiate Dictionary out and opened it up to forgive. And I said, read to me what it means to forgive." And she began to weep. Now, I've had people argue with me about what the Bible meant. I never had anybody argue with me about the dictionary. And she began to weep. And she forgave Aunt Susie, and she prayed for Aunt Susie, and while she was praying for Aunt Susie, her hands, she walked out of the room. Now that, you know, I'd like to say that happened every time. But that was impressive, to say the least. And she was a sweet little old lady. She was just deceived. That was a teaching she had received. That God, vengeance is mine, I will repay. God's going to get her for you. You don't have to. You just have to say, you're going to forgive her and let God do it. And you sit and wait for God. When you're going to get them, God? When you're going to get them? I saw God get every one of those people that stole from my husband. This little old lady, they had a store during the Depression. And man, he couldn't refuse two people food when they didn't have any money, so he put it on the books. And he ran up all these bills, you know, and eventually bankrupted him. But then the war came and prosperity came back. And all those people got jobs. Some of them paid him, but most of Never paid him back. The lawyer said it's beyond the, you know, it's the statute of limitations run out. You know what? You have 7 years. The statute of limitations runs out. The Bible says 7 years. You forgive all your debts. And then they wrote the book, The Statute of Limitations. And that poor old lady, she just saw all these people prosper, and her husband had a heart attack and died, and stroke and died, and she wound up practically penniless. Oh, she sat and she waited and she saw God get every one of them. Poor old lady, God. And she had arthritis and she had a lot. She lived a miserable life. Sweet little old lady, but she wouldn't. She wanted to see them pay for what they did. You can sit and wait for people to pay. But I'm going to tell you, it cost her a horrible price. I'm sure she suffered more. You know, that measure that came back was a little bit bigger than the measure she poured out. You know, it's God's business. I thank God I don't have to judge people. When I looked into the face of that militant man, and I felt God's love. I've never felt love like that. God said, I love him. And the love that poured out, I mean, it was just, I never felt anything like that. And I knew that he was a tool of the enemy. And he wasn't my enemy. The devil was. And he was roaring through him like a lion. I don't know what happened to any of those men. People that owned the meeting room in the motel asked us if we'd please pack up and leave before we came back. Go get you a room in another motel. And we did. We left. My son was in Ammon, Jordan last week. And they were getting ready to have 5 days of religious meetings. They were going to have a business meeting and so forth. A group of church leaders. And they held a prayer and praise session. And knocked on the door. It said 15 minutes of prayer and praise. He knocked on the door and the religious police were there. And asked them if they would please leave the country. And there was a bus downstairs. And they packed their belongings. Got on the bus. And they took them to Jerusalem. The hotel was calling ahead trying to get them rooms. I said, did they put you in jail? He said, well, it'd been much more exciting if they'd shown up with guns and put us in jail. He said, but no. He said, they were very polite, very nice, and very polite. But he said, I'm sorry, you're going to have to leave. That was in Ammon, Jordan. In Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, I don't think they've been quite that polite. Pray for those people that don't know God. In the name of Jesus, well, people, I've talked much longer than I thought I would. And I have not, look at my notes here. I think I covered everything. I wanted to cover one other thing, was foolish vows. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 5, 2 to 6. Please open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes. You've got Ecclesiastes chapter 5, 5, 2. Do not be rash with your mouth, nor let your heart utter hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you on earth, therefore let your words be few, for a dream comes through much activity. And a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it. Numbers, it says, when you bind your soul with a vow. For he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. It is better to vow and not to play. Numbers says it. He has no patience with fools who vow and do not pay. Be careful about what you vow. New Year's resolutions. This year I'm going to lose 15 pounds. That's a vow you bound your soul to. You don't do it. God says, I got no pleasure with you. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. Now there's, under the Old Testament, there wasn't any way out, but there is a way. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 9. If you truly mess up, make a vow that you can't keep and you try. Hebrews 9:13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies through the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You go to God with it. Confess. Ask God to cleanse you. Then say, God, help me not to make the same mistake again. Now, if you continue that, there comes a point where God looks at you and says, you know, you're treating the blood of the covenant as a common thing, and you are insulting the Holy Ghost. That's in the next chapter, chapter 10 of Hebrews. Praise the Lord. Let's everybody stand up now and get their blood circulating. Stand up and praise God. Praise you and bless you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh God, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. Touch us, Lord God. Touch us. Say, dear Lord,
dear Lord,
I love you.
I believe
that Jesus Christ of Nazareth
is the Son of God.
He was manifested in the flesh.
He died on the cross for my
sin. He was raised from the dead for my justification.
He ascended into heaven.
Sits on the right hand of the Father.
Ever to make intercession for me.
God is my Father.
Jesus Christ is my big brother.
I am a member of the family of God.
I am His child.
I thank you, Lord,
that you have redeemed me out of the hand of the enemy.
I come before you now, Lord,
and I hold up the sins of my ancestors
and my sin.
Lord, I repent of them.
Lord, help me turn from them.
I forgive
everybody
who's ever hurt me,
used me,
abused me,
rejected me,
stolen from me,
cursed me,
or any otherwise
offended me.
I forgive them.
I ask you to bless them.
Be gracious and merciful.
Don't make them pay for it.
I remit the debt.
Your word says,
any debts we remit,
any sins we remit,
are remitted.
I remit them, Lord.
And I claim cleansing
of the blood of Jesus.
Oh, Lord, help me.
Lord, help me now.
All these bad memories.
All these toxic thoughts
that keep coming up.
Help me, Lord God, to be cleansed of them.
I forgive all these people.
I bless them. And I release them to you, Lord.
I ask you not to make them pay, Lord,
but to bless them, Lord. Be merciful in the name of Jesus.
I bind
all the spirits
that are tormenting me.
I bind the spirit of fear.
I ask you to send your perfect love
to drive out fear,
for fear has torment.
I bind all the tormenting spirits,
panic attacks,
fear of rejection,
fear of not being loved,
fear of not being wanted,
fear of not being good enough,
the grasshopper spirits,
depression,
terror,
obsessive compulsive disorders.
I bind all these things, Lord.
And I break their power over me.
And I command them to go.
Now. In the name of Jesus. For it is written. In Joel 2:32.
Anyone.
Calls on the name of the Lord. Shall be delivered.
Leave me now.
In Jesus' name.
Everybody take a deep breath and cough. Come on out of them. Let them go now. Come on out. Come on out, you foul devils. Let them go. Turn them loose. Come on up out of their backbones. Come up out of their legs and their arms. Come up out of their eyes. Come up. Come up. Come up, you foul devils. I bind all you Antichrist spirits in the name of Jesus, and I command you to go. Go. Go, fear. Go. Go, anxiety. Go. In the name of Jesus. Go, high blood pressure. I bind all the infirmity spirits, all the high blood pressure, all the cancer, in the name of Jesus, all the stomach ulcers, all the heart attacks, all the strokes, all the infections. I break their power. Let them go. Let them go. Come out. Come out of their ears. Come on out. All deafness. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All deafness. Go. Go. Go! All our problems in the name of Jesus. All allergies, come out. I bind the spirits of pride now and rebellion. I bind the Antichrist devils. Antichrist devils, I bind you. Say, you spirits of pride. Come on, you spirits of pride. You spirits of rebellion. You spirits of the Antichrist. Idolatry. Hinduism. Buddhism. Yoga. Transcendental meditation. Relaxation exercises. All cults. Come out. In the name of Jesus. All idolatry. All whoredom. All drunkenness. In the name of Jesus. All the occult arts. All divination. Come out of there. Now all bitterness and anger and rage, I bind you in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. Come out. Come out of there. Come up out of that backbone. Come up out of that backbone and let them go. All the back pain, come up now. Be gone. All back pain, be gone. Go. Go in Jesus' name. I break your power. Let them go. All the back pain. Turn it loose. Turn it loose. Turn it loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn it loose. Back pain, I'm speaking to you. Jezebel, come out from behind the eyes now. All the headaches, come on out. I'm speaking to you. You know I'm speaking to you. You let her go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus, come out. In the name of Jesus, go. Go, you foul devil. Go, you foul devil. Go, 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 go. All of it. Go, all of you. In the name of Jesus Christ, let them go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus, go. Go! In the name of Jesus, all you foul devils, I bind you. I break your power. I isolate you from all other spirits. You can draw no power or authority from any other spirit. That's right. You can draw no comfort. You can communicate with no other spirit. I bind you and I break your power. And I put the hook of the Holy Ghost in your nose and his bridle in your mouth. And I send them ministering spirits and the war angels to ride you out of this building in the name of Jesus. Be gone. All of you. Now I bind the spirits of Crohn's disease in the name of Jesus. All Crohn's disease, be gone. All colitis in the name of Jesus. All thyroiditis in the name of Jesus. Go, go. All pancreatitis, all diabetes, I bind you. And I break the curse of diabetes now. I break the curse of diabetes in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Everybody take a deep breath for me. Let them go now. Let them go. Hold up your hands and praise God. Chains drop off of them. All the chains go. All the chains go. All the chains drop off now. Drop off. All the toxic thoughts. Release and go. Release and go. Release and go. All the chains. The chains, Lord God. Touch them by the anointing. He says the anointing rots and breaks the yoke. Let your anointing come down now, Lord, and rot and destroy the yoke, Lord God. Your people have been yoked, Lord God. I break the yoke. I break the yoke to fear. I break the yoke to pride. And I command it to be gone.
Come on out of there. All of it. All God's people say, amen. Amen. By the anointing, Jesus breaks the yoke. By the Holy Ghost and power, just as Jesus spoke. Nobody know that but me? I don't know it all. But it's by the anointing Jesus breaks the yoke. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, Lord, bless the food. Bless those that fix it and those who are going to eat it. We thank you, Lord. Lord, I ask you to continue working, Lord God. I salute the ministering spirits now to minister to your people, Lord, in the name of Jesus. The war angels to stand around and protect, and the ministering spirits to minister now. I bind up all bad visions, all nightmares, in the name of Jesus. All harassing spirits. And I loose some ministering spirits to minister to your people now, Lord, and to heal them. Heal the diseases, Lord God. For you said, Lord, that you looked upon them with compassion and you heal them all. Lord, let your love flow into them now, Lord. Let your compassion and your love flow in and heal them, Lord God. I speak the healing grace to come down. In the name of Jesus, let come, God. Come. Come, Lord Jesus. I thank you and I praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. In Jesus' my name. Lift now, Lord God, the oppression. Lift the oppression. We drive them out. Yes. Then the angels drive out all these spirits. Yes. We speak healing and restoration now. Yes. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. Thank you.